Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by Lullabot's Drupal Development Deep Dive Workshop Week in Washington, D.C. Come join Angela Webchick Byron and Jeff Eaton for a week-long excursion into the depths of Drupal's API and module development. The event happens July 12th to the 16th and is split up into two workshops, basic module development on Monday and Tuesday, and advanced Drupal development on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Sign up for each workshop individually, or sign up for the whole week, save some money, and become a complete Drupal development superhero. For more information, visit lullabot.com/events.
So my name's Miguel Jacques. I'm known online as MIG5, and I'm one of the core A-Gear developers. I live in Melbourne, Australia. I work as a senior sysadmin for a digital agency called IE, not related to the browser. And in my spare time, I work on A-Gear a fair bit. So we've got an A-Gear session here at DrupalCon on Wednesday, and unfortunately, Adrian Rousseau couldn't make it due to the volcano in Iceland. So he's not here, but Antoine, who's known as AnnoCat online, is also here. And so we'll be presenting the A-Gear session in his place. We might also bring Neil Drum up if we can, because we recently gave him commit access to the code. He's been doing a lot of really good work with the multi-server work that we're doing, which I'll mention in a moment. So he'll have plenty to share as well. So the A-Gear session, we're still fleshing out what the agenda will be at the last minute. But we'll start off, I think, with a general overview of what A-Gear is for people who aren't familiar with it. We'll try and work out, probe the crowd to see how many people have used it before. And from there, we'll discuss a lot of the changes that have happened since Paris. I wasn't there for Paris, but that was just after our 0.3 stable release. And since then, we've been working pretty heavily on the 0.4 alphas, which have introduced a lot of new features to A-Gear, such as the ability to clone sites and this sort of thing, platform management. So we'll discuss some of the changes that have happened, and then I think other than that, the focus will be on all the multi-server stuff we've been working on pretty much non-stop for quite a few weeks now. So we're really refactoring a lot of the code in A-Gear, particularly in the back end. It's all become object-oriented. We've introduced sort of server object or layer into A-Gear now, and that's really paving the way to be able to provision multiple servers for A-Gear to manage in terms of web and DB. And yeah, that's really the big piece right now.
And so would people be using A-Gear if they had one server and they wanted to spin up a lot of Drupal sites quickly? I mean, that's one use case, but if people have one website that has a different, you know, deployment and staging and production servers to be able to sort of transition from those. So maybe you could talk about, like, if you just have one site, what could A-Gear give to you?
Okay, yeah. I guess it's kind of the million-dollar question in terms of workflows, and a lot of people are interested to see what A-Gear can do with that. I like to say that A-Gear is not the solution so much for managing that workflow, but it's certainly there to make it easier. A lot of these decisions come down to what Antoine says. We design tools, not policy. A lot of the sort of philosophical decisions around deployment are still up to the user as far as we're concerned. For instance, you know, some people might not want to run their development versions of sites on the same infrastructure as their live sites. So if you're restricted to one server and one site, maybe that's not the best solution to have dev and staging running on the same box. That said, there's nothing stopping you from doing that. I think since we've introduced the clone feature, a lot of that workflow has improved a lot. So you can take like a live site and you decide you want to do some work on it. You can just very quickly clone your live site to a dev copy and really mess around with that without having any worry of affecting the live site at all. There's a workflow that I like to use with my sites, which I've written about on my blog a few times, and it's gotten a fair bit of attention. I switched to a sort of paradigm that involves every site simply being an instance of a sort of blueprint application using install profiles. So every one of my sites has an install profile of its own with a corresponding Drush makefile that defines all its dependencies to run that site. And so what I do is I will clone my live site, you know, on any day to make some changes, work on whatever I was changing, such as my theme or maybe a custom module, commit that all back into Git, you know, version control somewhere, or perhaps a new version of dependencies come out, like a new version of Vue or Capture or something. I'll update my makefile to use the new version, and then what I do is I deploy a new build in my Aegir system, so a new platform, which is a copy of Drupal core plus my install profile and via Drush Make all the dependencies. And then what I do is I exercise the migrate feature in Aegir. What the migrate feature does is it takes the backup of your site and then it deploys that tarball that it makes on a target platform that has new code, and through the process it calls Drush Update DB and runs any updates or schema updates that affected the database. And if all goes well, it switches some Apache configs around and suddenly your site is now deployed on the new code. And the real feature of this is that due to the way Drush works and the way Aegir works, there's rollback hooks basically in the back end to detect any failures that have come out of that migrate process. So where a lot of people are still kind of, you know, running SVN up or something on their live site and just crossing their fingers hoping it's not going to break anything, with this process of actually taking your instance of a site and moving it to a new platform, if something goes wrong, it rolls back, it removes the new sort of instance that it was creating of the site, it moves the site back to the old platform and restores the database dump that it took to begin with, and you would never have known there was any sort of problem. So it's a real safe way, I think, to do that workflow.
So yeah, that sounds sort of like magic there. Like what exactly is happening with the migrate process? So you're pushing up just the code, or is it also the database? Or, and you know, just maybe just walk through like where you click the migrate button, you're on the dev or the staging and you're pushing up to live. What is actually happening there again?
So the process I'm describing is directly on the live site at that stage. So it kind of infers that you've made a clone of the live site to maybe a dev copy, you've done some work, you have manually pushed those changes back into version control elsewhere. That interim step there is a part that I think people think Aegir is responsible for, which is getting that new code magically onto the Aegir server. Now, it's still the responsibility of the developer to put their new code on the server for Aegir to use. That's what I refer to when I call it the target platform, or I sometimes call it a build, which I generate from Drush Make. And it goes and fetches the new code for me. So at that point, the migrate tool that I use is on the live instance of the site. So every site in Aegir has a set of tasks that can be run against them. Migrate's one of those tasks. And what the migrate task does is it immediately takes a backup of the site. It actually has a backup task of its own that it runs, which actually takes a database dump, puts that in the site-specific folder, and then it tars up the entire site-specific folder into a tarball and moves it. And after it makes that backup, it uses a special command in the back end. That's probably the magic you're referring to. The command's called provision deploy. And the deploy command simply takes a tarball as an argument and a target platform. And it goes, okay, I'm going to go and extract this tarball at the target platform. And then that's when it runs a bunch of hooks like the Drush Update DB, and it just sits there waiting for any errors to come out. And if there are no errors, it then changes the Apache configuration for that site to change the document route. So this site's now over here on the new target platform. And then it deletes the old copy of the site once it's convinced everything's fine. So it's designed to be very safe. We're all the Aegir developers are sysadmin sort of brains. Yeah, we're very paranoid about destroying any people's code or data, so we take extra, sometimes excessive steps to keep it safe.
So it's not deleting it until you can, you're sort of sitting there until if you need to go back to it, but then you're kind of manually deleting it, or is Aegir doing that?
Aegir is automatically deleting it, but only if it detects that it's been a success. So at any time that Drush throws like a permanent error of sorts, Drush automatically then looks for a rollback hook in the code, and in your rollback function you define the steps to step backwards and remove all evidence of what just tried to happen. And because the migrate task took a backup of the files and the database first, it can then restore from that backup if things change.
So part of the reason why the deployment is such a million-dollar question is that if you have a dynamic site and you have new comments and new stuff being generated constantly, whenever you take a copy of that and sort of downgrade it to your dev or your staging server, there may be new stuff that's happening on the production server. So that's why it's a little confusing. And when you're pushing stuff back up, then is that just on the code level, or maybe talk about that a bit?
Yeah, for me, it's just on the code level. And a lot of people have asked this question, and I'm fairly cold when it comes to this. Basically, in a dynamic site or CMS sort of environment, I think I've been burnt by it too many times in the past. And I feel that trying to version the database or changes in the database or keep that sort of stuff in sync when doing development work, for my use case, it's not relevant, really. As you said, too much stuff changes in the meantime. And I guess for me, it's all about when I'm working on a site, I guess it's different for other people, but when I'm working on a site or an application, I'm working on changing modules or themes and that sort of thing. I'm not so much worried about the content that's going in to the dev or staging site. I'm relying on the live site being the canonical sort of source of what's happening in the database, and I basically just don't care.
But it sounds like the Eiger is giving you the option to kind of like take the live site and downgrade it and then work directly on that, though.
Very much. So when you clone a site in Eiger, which is another task that you can run on a site, it does copy the live database as well as the site files for you. So as soon as you clone a site, you've got exactly that, a clone of your live site to work on. Eiger doesn't do anything to sort of clone or merge that site back into the live instance. The idea is the work you've done, you put back into version control, you generate a new build for your live site in preparation, and then you migrate your live site to that new build, and you should end up seeing basically the work you did on your development clone, except for any database changes that you might have made to your development environment. But we haven't solved that one yet. I don't know if it can be solved.
And Eiger is very closely tied to the Drush module, and it sounds like there's new developments on the Drush end as well. So maybe talk about what are some of the new things and the relationship between Drush and Eiger.
Yeah, Adrian and Mosh often say that, well, Eiger is the biggest user of Drush. So there's very much a symbiotic sort of relationship between those two. A lot of new features or paradigms that we introduce into Eiger end up making their way back into Drush and vice versa. I think there's still some overlap in some of the code in both places. Actually, I was just working on that, looking at how Drush can install a site. I think the install core or site install command or something. Very similar to what we do in Eiger, but slightly different. So we're still looking at how we can best consolidate a lot of that code. I think Drush really benefits a lot from Eiger in that we typically set up our Eiger code to use the latest version of Drush at any given time, and it's a good opportunity, I think, to test all the new features that are going into Drush, and often we find problems there and we let the Drush guys know. I think Adrian and Antoine as well have commit access to Drush as well, so yeah, there's definitely a lot of a crossover there.
Okay, well, great, thanks.
No worries, thanks.